We have with us today to preach Mark Brown. Mark's a friend of mine. Some of you may recognize him. He's preached here before, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. I'm not sure exactly. He's been here for at least one of our children's baptisms and maybe one other time. So he's been here 2-3 times and he's preached once before. Mark and I went to seminary together at RPTS. Mark is a member at Providence Reformed Presbyterian Church, which is just through the Liberty Tunnels in Brookline. And we always joke that we're kind of we're on pace to see who can finish and be ordained last. It's kind of like, you know, it's because we're both moving, you know, at one step forward, two steps back pace. So Mark's soon to be a ruling elder there, and he preaches in a lot of the churches in Western Pennsylvania in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and at times, sometimes even in Selma, Alabama, and faraway places. So, but I'm pleased to introduce Mark to you, and I'm happy to sit under his preaching this morning. So, Mark, please.
Good morning. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the saints at Providence RP Church in Brookline, and also from your familiar brother, Douglas Coleman, who, when he found out I'd be preaching here today, said to be absolutely certain to send you his love and blessings. I hope that you will forgive me for not having my jacket on this morning. I've been dealing with quite warm pulpits lately, and everyone's been so accommodating with taking the jacket off and keeping the cool. I thought I would do that today as well. Our focus will be Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13 this morning, the story of the healing of the centurion's servant. But on the way there, I'd like to stop at a couple other places in Scripture in order to give us a better background and context for what we'll be studying today, a message I pray will have great personal value to you as the Church of Pitcairn, bringing your word, the light of God, to this area and beyond. So let's start with Genesis chapter 1, which is unsurprisingly on page 1 of your pew Bibles. Genesis chapter 1. In this passage, we see that the power of God was so great that all he had to do was speak, and what was nothing became something. Hear now the word of the Lord, starting in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read about the first 15 verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. Another portion before we go into our primary study today comes from John chapter 11. John chapter 11, you'll find this on page 898 in your pew Bibles. 898. John chapter 11, starting with verse 32, we look at an astounding miracle. A man raised from the dead. If you sit here today as one who loves and serves the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit has been taken from death to life. But in this instance, we see an astounding thing. A body that was dead, raised to life. And how? Because the Lord spoke it. His is the authority to be able to do so, just by speaking. John chapter 11, starting with verse 32. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. May the Lord again bless his word to your hearts and minds today. It is something to see how we learn what to respect. If you have ever been driving and you have heard the sound of a siren, immediately you know that's either the police or an ambulance. And immediately you know, pull over, whichever it is. Why do you know this? Because you've learned that that siren is the sound of authority. Perhaps you as a parent, or remembering your parent, know that at the sound of mom's or dad's voice saying, it's time to stop that, the kidding around needs to quit, and that thing must stop. Why? Because that parent is a voice of authority, and you've learned that. Even a teacher in a classroom who has exercised authority over that classroom can say to the students, pick up a pencil or put down a pencil, and that is the thing that happens. Why? Because that teacher is the authority in that classroom. Beloved, what I want you to know today is that the greatest authority of all is one in whom you, if you have believed on Christ, can call, whose word is his voice, which you can hear and obey, and not just that, but trust as well. Jesus Christ. And when he speaks, creation itself obeys. When God speaks, planets are formed. When God speaks, death runs away. So for you, beloved, run to the one who speaks in miracles and know that you serve the ultimate authority. Run to the one who speaks in miracles. Our central passage today, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. If you are not there yet, this is on page 813 of your pew Bible. Matthew 8, the centurion. Our Lord has just come down from delivering his Sermon on the Mount. In my opinion, the best sermon ever preached. And just before these events, he did the unthinkable, the unacceptable for all men. He reached out and he touched a leper. But instead of that leper making him unclean, he healed the leper. How? Authority. Authority. His rules, his plan, his power. And right after healing the centurion, the leper, a centurion came to him. And this is what happened. Starting with verse 5, hear now the word of our Lord God. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. The faith that you have, does it really have roots in your heart? Hear verses 10 and 11 again. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Israel was his people. They were those who should have recognized the Lord immediately and come running to him. But they doubted. They doubted. And because of that, the Lord threw the gates open and opened salvation to others. The Gentiles, which is those who are from the east and from the west. This is how the scriptures describe them. Those to the east of Israel, those to the west of Israel. This includes lands like Babylon, Assyria, places where you would never even begin to think the Lord could allow such a thing. But so great is his authority on earth that it's his choice who he'll forgive, his choice who he'll save. And so those can come from the east and from the west, outside of Israel, and come into Israel and be saved. Not because of themselves, not because of anything they've earned, not because of anything about them, but because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this, we discover that unless your faith is heart-rooted, rooted in your heart, true, binding, your end is destruction. Sitting among the pews cannot save you. Singing the praises cannot save you. Giving until your bank account breaks does not save you. It is only a new heart given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. Listen to verse 12. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I wrestled with that verse for some time. What do you mean, the sons of the kingdom? Aren't those the good guys? No. No, because what's being referred to here, who's being referred to here, is those born into Israel. Those who should have been saved. Those who were the target, but walked off the board. They were the sons of the kingdom. And they should have been the ones dropping palms before our Lord and singing Hosanna, but instead they crucified him. But that allowed the Lord to open the door. Now, many of the great theologians of over the ages have taken this passage to mean a number of things, but God is good. God is good, and he told us what it means. From Acts chapter 13, we see what the Lord is pointing at here. Acts 13, verse 46. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first." And they're speaking to Jews. "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." Stunning. Stunning. He came to them first, and they didn't want it. And so the Lord sent his apostles to the Gentiles instead. Your real faith in the real God is the only thing that gets results. The only thing. Verse 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. The word tells us that the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the these things in that passage are the daily needs of life, because God is not blind to what you need. It may feel sometimes like he isn't answering your prayer, like you're missing out on something. But if he, the perfect Father, knows that you have need of a thing, would not the perfect Father provide it? Perfect Father? If you do not have it today, you do not need it today. Praise God. Praise God. Take hold, beloved. Take hold of the kind of faith this outsider, this Gentile, this centurion showed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 5 to 7. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him. Imploring. That is a big word. He did not simply go and ask. He poured his heart out to the Lord. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Although this man was not Jewish, he came to the Jewish Lord of all. Yes, I said that. Because as you know, the Lord Christ was born to the Jews. And the eyes of the centurion were opened to who he really is. And his heart not only believed on him, but recognized his authority as well. He recognized his authority. And he came to him, how wonderfully, not even for something for himself. Surely a centurion had more than one servant. The practical loss of one servant is highly unlikely to have damaged this man's life in any way. He cared for the servant. And so what he did was, he cried out, he implored of the Lord on behalf of someone else. He could have said, Lord, if my servant dies, I will suffer loss. He could have said, Lord, my servant's in pain. I can't stand to hear his cries anymore. He could have said any of a number of things that focused on himself while seeming to be on behalf of another. But he didn't. There's no indication of that in Scripture. What he said was, my servant is lying paralyzed, fearfully tormented. Can you imagine what would have happened to the centurion when the other men in his service saw him come to this Jewish leader? He would have been ostracized, possibly demoted, maybe even worse. But not only did he come to Jesus Christ, he came to him on behalf of someone else. What an amazing love. What an amazing faith. And so coming to Christ means you need to bend the knees of your heart to the ultimate authority. the ultimate authority. Here, verses 8 and 9. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. True authority only needs to speak. That's all. When the policeman says to you, move your car, you don't ask him to show his identification. You don't call his station and get references from his sergeant or anyone else. You don't look at his work record. You move your car because he said so. And that's all he needs to do is say so. So when the Lord God speaks, that's all he needs to do is say so. And beloved, he has said so. He has said so. True authority only needs to speak. Because when the ultimate authority speaks, not a teacher, not a parent, not a police officer, not a governor, not a king, not a centurion, God, when he spoke, creation happened. There was nothing, and then there was something. Men have been trying to duplicate this ever since it happened the first time, and they can't, and it frustrates them to no end, because only the ultimate authority can do that. Only him. And when he spoke, and there was a man who had been dead in the grave for 4 days. Surely you've seen some of the television shows that explore what happens when a body is dead, whether it be a medical show or a crime show or whatever the case may be. When the ultimate authority calls out, that dead one got up and walked out of the grave. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ. He could have chosen to lay hands to do the work, but he didn't in these examples. He has done it at times, surely by his own choice and his own will. But what we see is that he didn't need to. He didn't have to. All the ultimate authority has to do is speak. That's it. Think of when Elijah faced off against the prophets of Baal. Hundreds gathered together against this one servant of God. And he said, okay, set up the sacrifices. Let's see what you can do. And they tried. They cried for their God. They beat themselves. They cut themselves. They cried out. They screamed. And nothing happened. Elijah said, maybe you should get a little louder. Maybe your God's asleep. Try some more. And they tried, and they rent their flesh, and they did all they could, and nothing happened. But when Elijah said, Lord, and in faith he called out to his God, fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. It just took the word. When a faithful one called out to the almighty authority over all, it just took a word. Run to his word, beloved. Run to his word. Run to prayer. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have access to this same authority as his own child. Which of you would say to your own child who asks you for dinner, here's a rock? Which of you would say to your child who asks you for a coat on a cold day, here's a cloth, do whatever you can? None of you. And if you, being sinful, know to give your children these good things, how much more our perfect God to his children? How much more? And he has the authority to speak and make anything in his will happen like that. As a congregation, and here's where it gets personal for you. I know that you've been seeking a pastor for some time. You should have a pastor. And you should keep searching for that man that God has set apart for you. But until then, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be anxious, because you should not. There's no need. Yes, it's work to seek that man. Yes, there is work in verifying his calling. But until that happens, don't fear. Don't think that God has turned his back on you by any means. Don't be anxious for what will happen between this Lord's Day and the next. Because all God has to do is say, it's time, and it'll happen. And if he hasn't said it's time, it's not time. That's okay. That's okay. Keep doing the work, trusting that when it's time, it's time. God has never been early. God has never been late. God has always been right on time. And as the word proclaims to us, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That doesn't just mean you've gotten 24 more hours. That means if today brought you pain and difficulty, it's still the day the Lord made for you. And he had a reason for that. But if your day brought you great peace and joy and enjoyment, praise God. Rejoice in that. It's the day he made. So if today passes and you have yet to find that man who has been called to this congregation, it's still the day the Lord has made. That doesn't refute that. You can rejoice, be glad in it, and keep searching. Comforted. Comforted by the knowledge that you can run to the one who speaks miracles. May your faith be emboldened today by the word of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us yet another day in which to praise you, to thank you for difficulty and pleasure. Because in the end, if we belong to you, when all is said and done, we're coming home. And the difficulties in this life, which your servant wrote down to help us remember, are a small passing thing. This blink of an eye is nothing to compare to eternity. My Lord, bless this congregation. Bless all the people under the sound of my voice with an awareness that you are the one who speaks in miracles. It is no miracle for a man to speak and tell someone to move his car. It is a miracle for you to speak and say, your sins are forgiven. So bring these hearts to you, Father, with confidence, joy, and the assurance of knowing that the one true God is indeed Jesus Christ, and may be called on by all those who believe in him at any time, any place, day or night. Seal your word to every heart, Lord, including my own. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.